Thank you, ladies. That was the Ball Sisters. You can thank me later, Sheila. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. We're going to let you go at this point. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. You may leave. Both of them. All right. Good. John chapter 14 this evening. One of the things that you dread as if you're going to be preaching is someone to steal your message. Last Sunday when I preached, Daniel took my message, and I really not thought about it. I'm not bitter or anything. Wednesday night, Brother David got up to speak, and he said, turn to the book of John. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. But thankfully, he went to 13. We're going to 14. So we'll be all right. It's always a joy to preach the Word of God. It's good to see you. Appreciate you being here tonight. Good. Appreciate the ministry of the choir this morning. The Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And what the choir did this morning was lift up the Lord. And I know that God worked in many hearts. And we appreciate the folks in the choir, the ladies who played, instrumentalists, and the power of music to praise God. And it was exciting this morning. Lord, we do thank you for a good day today in your house. Thank you for the Word of God that we can live by. Thank you for revealing yourself, revealing your will to every one of us in the written Word of God. Lord, thank you for sending the living Word of God. And that Jesus came and paid for our sin, made a way for us to have eternal salvation. And Lord, we are a blessed people. And we thank you. Though you are holy, that you loved us so much. And we rejoice in our salvation tonight. We rejoice in our Savior tonight. We rejoice in the Word of God tonight. And Lord, we ask you now just to take the Word of God, to move from pew to pew and heart to heart, and to minister to us right where we are today. May the Word of God find good soil. Speak to us, speak through me, through your Word, in Jesus' name, amen. Job 5:7 says, yet man is born unto, what's the next word? Trouble. Trouble. As the sparks fly upward. In other words, life is full of problems and troubled people. We have seen our share recently here at the church of trouble and problems. Been a lot of tears about the pastor's situation, about our situation. I was doing pretty well till Leroy prayed Wednesday night, and that tore me all apart, Leroy. Thanks a bunch. Most of these tears have been tears of sadness, some tears of joy. One man told me he was, when I announced I was going to resign, that he wanted to applaud, but he was afraid his wife would hit him. I'm not going to tell you his name, but in his TV commercial, his grandkids say, let's go camping, Pops. Larry loves me. I love you, brother. There you go. Recently, my devotions, I read John chapter 14, and you know John chapter 14. It starts, let not your hearts be troubled. And the simple matter of fact is, Christian, God does not want us to go through life being troubled. And yet, boy, it's easy to allow it to happen, isn't it? I mean, just in a heartbeat, you can go from the joy of the Lord and walking with the Lord and, oh, it's great, to, oh, my soul. And our hearts can become troubled. It's very interesting to me as I read that in my devotions. There are times when you prepare for a message and you labor and you labor and you labor. And I'll be honest with you, and you'll say at the end, I can see you didn't labor, but as I was reading in my devotions, I saw four things very quickly that Christ said to his disciples, his apostles. They were troubled, and he said, I'm going to give you four cures, four remedies for a troubled heart. And then I read chapter 15 about abiding in Christ. And then I read chapter 16, and you know what I found? Never seen this before. John chapter 16 is the same as John chapter 14. The same idea in the text, the same remedy in the text, they're identical. And so this evening, I want to share with you four truths for the troubled heart. Truths for the troubled heart. And number one, I want you to see the record of their troubled heart. And we're just going to flip back and forth between John 14, John 16. I've already quoted verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. And that word trouble is found 20 times in the New Testament. It's interesting. It's always translated trouble. But it has the idea of being agitated, to be stirred up, to be roiled up. Isn't that a nice word? Roiled up. Like water is roiled up. And often believers, as we go through life, there are times when, man, we are just, talk about turmoil, and our stomachs are doing flips, and our heart is doing flips, and we're just roiled up. We're troubled. And he said, I don't want you to be troubled. Now, by the way, why would he say to them, don't be troubled? Because they were troubled. And he goes on in chapter 16, and you can just flip over to 16, verse 6. And he says in verse 6, he said, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And it's a different word, and it's the idea of heaviness. Do you ever feel just weighted down by the cares of life? And it's just, you're just going along and you're just barely making it. That's the idea here. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, don't be weighted down by the heaviness and the problems of life. So he gives us the record of their troubled heart. Secondly, the reason for their troubled heart. I've often thought it would have been wonderful to be an apostle of Christ. Can you imagine? Just being with Christ for 3.5 years, and as you would be there, think of what he did for his apostles. He protected them. They're out on the Sea of Galilee. Storm comes up. He is asleep in the ship. There's a great storm. It's great peril. But it's okay. Why? Because Jesus is in the boat. Jesus was in the ship. Jesus was there. And so they wake him up, and what does he do? Peace. Be still. Can you imagine being there? Wow, that must have been something. It happened again when they were in the ship without the Lord. Remember that? And he came walking on the water, and good old Peter. Peter, the man who spoke before he thought and acted before he thought, he said, I'm going out there. This is going to be great. And it was great till he saw the wind and the waves. And the Lord rescued him. And it says when he got on board, the wind and the waves ceased. Think about having 5,000 people that you've got to feed. How many of you ladies would like to feed 5,000? Plus, that was just the men, plus their wives, their children. Food City was closed. The Golden Arches hadn't been opened yet. And you're out with no way to feed these people, and you're an apostle, and you're one of the guys. And Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he breaks them and he gives you them in the basket. How would you feel if you'd been an apostle? You got 12 guys and they each got a basket, a little bit of fish, a little bit of bread. And you're looking at this crowd. Oh, my soul. You say, well, we'll go as far as it lasts. And you send it down the first row and the other guy sends it back and you look at it and there's the same amount in here as when I sent it down the first time. Well, let's try another row. And they sent it down the row. And it came back. And lo and behold. And God provided in a miraculous way. Wouldn't that have been amazing to be there? And then there was the feeding of the 4,000. God provided for them. God protected him. They saw miracle after miracle. They even saw a dead man raised to life. Wow. All because Jesus was there. And everywhere they went with Christ, he was in their presence. Wow, would have been something. But we come to John chapter 15, and they're at the Last Supper in the upper room. And the Lord has told them something that has troubled them. And we see it in verse 2 of chapter 14. And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go." Now think about it. I mean, anything they needed, when they were with Jesus, it's okay. Anything. I mean, you need to pay the taxes? Wouldn't that be great? You got to pay your taxes? Go fishing. Call Roger Cox, get the boat out. Roger, got to pay my taxes. Go out to Boone Lake, start fishing. Pull one in. Well, there's $100 in that one. Oh, there's $200 in that one. This is great stuff. And you get all this money and pays for your taxes. That's what Jesus did for them. Roger, I may take up fishing. If it worked like that, I would do it. Everything they needed, Jesus provided. But now Jesus is leaving. All the things they had depended upon him for, his protection, his provision, his power, his presence, it's not going to be that way anymore. How would you feel? I mean, we have widows here, folks whose husbands provided for you and paid all the bills and the other thing, and they got sick and they're gone. And what am I going to do now? Or maybe a parent has passed away or someone that you relied on a great deal. Well, think of that person had been Jesus. And you had been spending 3.5 years with him and you'd heard him teach. And if you had a question about the Old Testament, what would you do? Well, you'd just go ask Jesus. He had all the answers. I mean, any need you had, you just went to Jesus. As long as he was around, it was okay. But Jesus said, "I'm leaving." Can you imagine the troubled soul of these men? Can you imagine how they felt? Whoa, 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 wait a minute. What do you mean you're leaving? I thought we were going to set up the kingdom. What do you mean you're leaving? And they were troubled. So we see the record of their troubled soul. We see the reason for their troubled soul. But thirdly, and here's our main point, the remedy for their troubled heart. And in this passage, in both of these chapters, there are four things I want you to see that Jesus said, okay, let me help you here. Okay, you've got a troubled heart. Don't be troubled. I'm going to provide some things that'll help you. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Number one. The remedy for a troubled heart, number one, a prepared place. You see that right there in John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What was Jesus telling them? Guys, I'm leaving, okay? You're troubled. But I tell you what I'm doing. I'm going back to heaven, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, stop for a moment. How long did creation take? It's not a trick question. 6 days. Jesus has been in heaven 2,000 years, preparing a place for us. What must it be like? Now we read about the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the mansions. We read in Revelation there's no darkness, there's no disease, there's no devil, hallelujah. There's no deviant behavior. Had to get another D in there. But folks, he said, look, don't be troubled. Heaven's just around the corner. Don't be troubled. This is temporary. This is temporary. I'm leaving, but it's temporary, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to heaven. And you're going to be with me in heaven for all eternity. And I want to tell you, believer, when you are troubled, I want to remind you that this is not it. Okay? Now, if this is it, hallelujah, I'm troubled too. This isn't it. This isn't the end. This isn't the final chapter. No, the final chapter, I've read it in Revelation. It's a place called heaven. It's the New Jerusalem. It's a place where we'll be for all eternity. And I like what he says in John 16. Again, flip back over there in verse 16. John 16, 16. You're not going to know too many passages here tonight. You've got to know two, but just keep flipping back and forth. John 16:16. I want you to look for a word that's repeated over and over again. See if you can get it. It's not the word and or the, okay? A little while ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desired to ask him, and said unto him, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Did you notice those two little words over and over again? What was it? A little while. A little while. Jesus said, hey guys, it's going to be okay. In a little while, you're coming to heaven. And you're going to be with me, and we're going to be there forever. You see, their parting was temporary, but their reunion would be eternal. If the doctor ever said to you, I want you to know you have a permanent condition. There's no solution for it. What should your answer be? No, it's not permanent. It's just during this life, and then comes heaven. I won't have it then. It's not permanent. Nothing in this life is permanent except your soul and the Word of God. Those things are permanent. Isn't that a great thought, though? Everything you're going through. Dr. Panosian, some of you had Dr. Panosian, Bob Jones, History of Civ, and he would say, this too will pass away. And it will. You know the trouble you're having right now? The thing that is just roiling your soul? Someday, it's going to pass away. It's not permanent. It's not permanent. It's temporary. This is one of the things that comforted me so much when my mom went to heaven. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You don't need to turn there, you know it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I miss my mom. It's been over 5 years now. Still miss my mom. My dad is physically here. Mentally, he's been gone really for several years, although there are moments of when he's lucid. But you know what? This apart is temporary. I'm going to see my mom again someday. And when the Lord returns, if I'm still alive, she'll be caught up from the grave. I'll be caught up with her. We'll be caught up with the Lord. And we'll be with the Lord how long? Forever. Hey, believer, you say, oh, this trouble. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Hey, I want to remind you, number one, there is a prepared place. And in a little while, we're going to be there. Oh, by the way, what kind of place is it? By the way, he talks about it here. You're in John 16, I think, right now. Look at verse 20. We just read it. Look at the end. And it says, ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Into joy. Look at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Wow, isn't that great? I love the song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. So believer, let me encourage you. If you're troubled, I just don't know if I can take it anymore. I don't know how much longer I can take it. Well, remember, it's just a little while. A little while. And you know, you think about it, you say, but Gary, I mean, it could be 20 or 30 years. How long is that compared to eternity? It's a little while. I've told my classes, we have an elliptical at home. And we hang clothes on it like the rest of you. No, we don't really. I actually use it a couple times a week, or I try to. This week I've been packing stuff. I haven't been packing. I've been, that's another story. We were cleaning out the attic, so I've been going up and down the steps. I had a real-life stepper. But when I usually use the elliptical, I have a 30-minute program, And it's one of these things that starts out real easy. You know, it has bars, has one bar, and you got one bar for about 3 minutes, so you're moving along. Ah, this is great, it's great. Ah, we're moving along here. And then it jumps to two, and okay, we're going to live, we're all right. And then it jumps to four. But the great thing is it shows you right on the screen you got four bars for 5 minutes. And so I'm moving along, and about 3 minutes, I'm dying. I am dying. Oh, man, this is terrible. And if I had to go 18 more minutes like that, I'd quit. But I can look at the screen, and I can see it's only got three more bars. I can make it down to two bars. Actually, it's got a timer, so that's not true. It's got a timer. And I know at a certain point, it's going to be done. And so I hang in there, and I hang in there. And finally, it drops down to two bars again. Oh, this is good. Oh, I made it. But you know what keeps me going? I know eventually, it's going to get easier. Eventually, the hard part's going to be done. Believer, boy, I want to remind you, hallelujah, there's going to come a day when the trouble's over. And we'll be in heaven with the Lord for all eternity in eternal bliss. Oh my. Well, there's number one. You survived the first point. A prepared place. Secondly, there is a prayer promise. There's a prayer promise. You see, when Christ was on the earth, whenever they needed anything, all they did was say, "Hey, Lord, we got a problem. These bad guys over here, can you take care of that? This storm, can you take care of that? This food, can you take care of that?" But now the Lord is going to be gone, and what in the world is going to happen? Well, look in John chapter 14 and verse 13 and 14. And Jesus said, something's going to change. Something's going to change. He said, "While I've been on the earth, you've asked me for things and I've done them. Well, I'm going to heaven." But he said, good news. Verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name for his glory and his cause, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Wow. Jesus is going back to heaven. They can't go to Jesus anymore and say, "Hey, Lord." Well, yes, they can. Yes, they can. And by the way, so can you. Aren't you glad the veil of the temple, which cut off the holy place, the presence of the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, what happened when Jesus died on the cross? The veil was rent from top to bottom, and it showed us that there is now a way into the very Holy of Holies. Yes, Jesus is gone. Yeah, we don't have him here sitting with us at the table. We can't physically say to him, but aren't you glad, believer? You've got a way because of what Jesus did on the cross. You've got access to Jesus Christ and to God the Father. And we can, this is amazing, because of it, we can therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Wow. Hey, I've got great news for you, folks. No matter what happens in life, no matter what trouble is roiling your soul, you have a Savior in heaven who is interceding for you at the throne of God, and you can pray and be helped from heaven. And I didn't finish that verse, but it says that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, what a wonderful thought, folks. That when we have a need, when we're troubled, we can come to Christ. We can come to God through Christ, and he can help us. He can meet our needs, whatever it is that's troubling us. And you know a neat thing about that? There were some times in the disciples' life in that 3.5 years that Christ wasn't there. You remember that? Do you remember when the demon-possessed boy was brought to them? And the man said, "Hey, cast this demon out of my son." And Jesus was not there, and the boys tried to do it. The apostles, you know, "Come out, come out." That didn't work. Let's try something else. "You come out in Jesus." They tried all, nothing happened. Jesus wasn't there. What happened when Jesus showed up? "Oh, you guys have little faith." And he cast out the demon. That's not true today. You know what? There's never a time that you can't pray. There's never a time that you can't go to heaven and say, "Lord, I got trouble. I need help." There's never a time. We have access to the throne room of grace. And that old song, Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Jesus said, oh, you guys, don't be troubled. I've got a prepared place for you. I'm coming back. We're going to be together. It's going to be all right, guys. Number two, he said, I know I'm leaving. I took care of you while I was here, but I'm going back to heaven, and you can still pray, and you can still have your prayers met and your needs met every day of your life. Isn't it sad, believers, that we go through life and we are so burdened with trouble and we never look up and we never pray? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's what we're to do, folks. So, he gives us a prayer promise. Thirdly, a personal paraclete. Now, we're doing all P's tonight, so we had to go to the Greek and use the word paraclete. But that's a name you know. You know the word paraclete. Who is that? That was weak. The Holy Spirit. That's right. Maybe you don't know. The personal paraclete. We have someone that is coming to help us. Look in John 14 and verse 16, right in the next verse. This is great. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the word paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. Now, it's interesting. The word another in the New Testament has two different meanings. One word means another of a different kind. A different Greek word has the meaning another of the same kind. Now, which word do you think is used here? It's another of a same kind. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send to you a paraclete, a comforter, and he's going to do the work that I've done. A paraclete, a comforter of a same kind. So what did Jesus do for them when he was in the world? He provided for them. He protected them. He took care of them. He gave them guidance. He gave them direction. What's the Holy Spirit of God going to do for you? Same thing. Same thing. Now, here's a great thing about it. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Listen, boy, this is great. For he dwelleth where? With you, and shall be in you. Where was Jesus? With you or in you? This is not a trick question. When Jesus was on the earth with the disciples, was he with them or in them? He was with them. Now, what can happen? There were times he was not with them. But what if the Holy Spirit is in you? Isn't that an amazing thought? When you got saved, God moved in. And everywhere you go, guess who you take with you? God. You in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And he is working in you. He is indwelling you. He's a personal indwelling. It's a permanent indwelling. And he's there to help you and to work in your life. And the Spirit of God wants to produce something, which is really our next point. But according to Galatians 2:20, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and What do you need when you have trouble? Joy and peace. And he said, the Spirit of God. And isn't it great that his name is the Comforter? And when you have trouble, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside, comes along and ministers to you. Have you experienced that, believer? A time when your soul was just roiled up. I mean, it was bad. I mean, you were troubled. And you got the Word of God, or you heard a godly song that exalted the Lord, and you're just going like this, and you're just troubled, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God works, and you just, oh, have peace. said, guys, don't be troubled. He said, there's a prepared place. There's a promise of answered prayer. And then there's the personal paraclete, the comforter, coming to help you and to minister to you. Let me give you one more. We're done. And this, I've already told you what it is. D, perfect peace. Perfect peace. You're in John chapter 14. Look at verse 27. And in fact, I'll read verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. What's the next word? Peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And if you look over in chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of a storm, I mean, all around you, it's just, it's kind of like you're in the eye of the hurricane. The hurricane's tearing down everything around you. It's just terrible. And you're in the eye and it's just, peace, peace. And he said, it's not like the world's peace. What's the world's peace like? How does the world get peace? Usually out of a bottle, don't they? Alcohol, drugs, some activity or something. How long does it last? And then you got turmoil and trouble again. He said, no, that's not God's peace. God's peace comes because he's overcome the world. And it's interesting how all those things tie together, isn't it? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The fruit of prayer is, let not your heart be troubled. Excuse me. Be not careful. How's the verse go? Everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made and know. And the peace of God, and in this great, which passeth all understanding, shall pavilion around you. And as we pray, and as we allow the Spirit of God to work in our life, and as we look toward heaven and realize this is all temporary, God can give you peace. Peace. 2 Peter 1, 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So are you troubled? There's an antidote for trouble. We found it here in John chapter 14, John chapter 16. I encourage you sometime in the next week, sit down and read those two chapters. Read the whole thing. Jesus said, guys, don't be troubled. It's going to be all right. This is all temporary. Got a new home. New home's coming. No trouble, no problems, and it's forever. He said, guys, don't be troubled. You can pray. You can bring your request to me. It's going to be okay. You can still ask me for things. I'm not going to be here. You can still pray. He said, guys, don't be troubled. I'm going to send another one, the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to help you. And says, guys, I can give you peace. That's what I need. That's what we all need. The peace of God. And so I go back to John chapter 14 and verse 1. Where he says, let not your heart be troubled. And I'm going to leave out a word and just say, believe. Isn't that the answer? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. Believe. You got it? Like Pastor said, you don't have it, I'll start all over. You got it? Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord says to me, Gary, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe. Keep believing. Keep believing. And boy, as we believe, God just says, peace. peace, be still. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for working in my heart. And God, how I want that peace. That peace, that wonderful peace that comes down from heaven and encamps around us as a barrier to the troubles and the trials of life. Lord, help me just to believe. To believe. To believe your word, your promises, your truths for the troubled heart. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed tonight. I know it's Sunday night, but it may be that you're here tonight and you're troubled about heaven. You're not sure of heaven. Oh, we shouldn't live that way. You need to get that settled. If you're not sure of heaven tonight, you come. We'll take the Word of God and help you to get peace about your eternal destiny. But obviously, I've been preaching to believers tonight. And God says to you, and he says to me, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Believe. And I'm going to have the ladies play the last hymn. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. And if you're here tonight and you said, oh, I've got a troubled soul. Why don't you come and get with the Lord? He said, if you'll call, I'll answer. Come and claim the promises of God and let God give you peace. You come as they play. Sing with me. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. Look this way. Marty's going to come in just a moment. Remind you about a couple of things. There's a meeting for the teens going to camp in the Blue Room. It's also good to see Paul Pritchard again here. Brother Pritchard, great to have you. Also, as most of you know, Miss Lashley did have a knee replacement this week on Wednesday, and she has had quite a bit of pain. They have moved her now to NHC, and she's there for rehab for a couple weeks or however long it takes, and continue to pray for her that the pain would ease and she would have healing. How many of you here have had a knee replacement? All right, you guys ought to be praying, all right? Because you've been there and done that. You know what it's like. And I know the other day they had her on some morphine. And Beulah, you know what that's like. I remember when they put Beulah on morphine, and that wasn't a good thing. But let's be praying for her, that God would raise her up and that God would heal her at this time.